Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
We are live from New York City, streaming on ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. I am Amber Wilson. He's Harry Douglas. We are filling in today for Greeny. You can tweet to us at HDouglas83, at AmberW790, at ESPN Radio. The job search can be a long, frustrating journey. That's why ZipRecruiter's AI does so much of the work for you. They send you jobs you can apply to with one click, and they pitch your profile to employers. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. So the quarterback carousel continues, right? Or does it? Now, there's a lot of news out of the NFL Combine. And, of course, all the GMs, a lot of the head coaches, all the scouts are all at the NFL Combine this week. And so they've all got microphones in front of them. And yesterday, Harry and I on this show talked about some potential openings around the NFL and who could land in some of those spots. Well, today, Harry, we're getting a lot of sound from a lot of GMs around the league, and they're saying all the right things about how their guy, their current guy, is the guy. And I want to know whether you believe any of this. So let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles. And the general manager, Howie Roseman, he, of course, had a microphone in his face at the Combine, and he was asked about the future of Jalen Hurts. Here's Roseman.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think that when you talk about all the things we talked about at the end of the season, nothing's changed. I think what really has changed for us is the opportunity to add. We got to continue to make sure that we're doing everything we can to maximize our players' ability to be successful. And certainly that starts at the quarterback position with Jalen.
Jalen Hurts, apparently the future there in Philadelphia, at least the future for the next season. I actually can buy this one, Harry, and I've always been pretty high there on Jalen, but how do you see it? Is Roseman telling the truth there?
They have three first-round draft picks. If they didn't have three first-round draft picks, I would say 100%. With the simple fact that they do have those draft picks, I would say it's about 60%. Right, you can do anything with those, and then if you get an offer that you can't refuse, if somebody says, hey, you give us those three first-round draft picks, we'll give you Russell Wilson, you're not going to turn that down, right? You're not at all. You're just not, because he instantly makes your team better. But when it comes to Jalen Hurts, I like him for this team. I like his intangibles. I like what he brings to the table. He's a competitor. He's smart. He's a dual-threat guy. He led this team, actually, in rushing. The only thing with Jalen that he has to get better at, I think, is – understand that we used to call this thing KYP, know your personnel. A lot of his interceptions came off trying to throw jump balls to small receivers, right? And if their vertical is not 45 or 46 inches, you shouldn't be throwing that jump ball to him. He threw one to Zach Ertz late in the season. I was like, that's the time, not Ertz, but I forgot the other tight end's name right now. Dallas Goedert. And I was like, that's the kind of guy you throw a jump ball to, a Dallas Goedert type, a big body guy who can box guys out. So it leads me to this thing right here. I look at all the guys he drafted at the wide receiver position, right, over the years. Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, it's been a bust so far. John Hightower has done nothing for him. Quez Watkins showed some promise. J.C. Arcega-Whiteside, he's been missing in action, MIA. So whoever's drafting these receivers, they need to step their game up, because I do believe in free agency they can add a guy like an Allen Robinson, who is a jump ball guy but can run routes as well. A Juju Smith-Schuster, who can control the middle of the football field. Those are the type of guys that you need to get for Jalen Hurts. And also, if you don't want to do it there, you can do it in the draft as well. I think it's a lot of guys in this draft. But I think they need to surround him with a nice supporting cast. And there's a theme when it has come to the receivers that they drafted over the last three drafts. They've been like small, quick guys. You can't have all your receivers be the same type of receivers. Somebody has to have some size. Now, I understand J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is a little bit bigger, but he was MIA last year, missing in action. So I think they can get better in those regards. But, Jalen, when you look at the Tampa Bay game in the playoffs, there were a few throws that was there. He didn't trust it. He got to trust and be able to throw with anticipation. And then at the same time, KYP, know your personnel, know what balls you can throw to certain guys. That's all a part of the evaluation process as a quarterback, and knowing each one of your receivers and what they do well and what you can and can't do when it comes to passes to those guys. But I do believe they can give them more help. And Nick Sirianni did a great job late in the year understanding after the Tampa Bay game early in the year, not the playoff game, but early, I think it was midway point of understanding, okay, we can't be a pass-first football team. We're going to be a run-based football team and build around this offense with Jalen Hurts that way. I thought that was a great self-reflection and self-awareness by him doing that. But I like Jalen Hurts. I like what he brings to the table, and he is a natural-born leader. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm one who thinks that Jalen Hurts did enough during the season where he should keep that job in Philly. But like you said, when they have three first-round picks, there's either way they can go, because that's a lot of draft stock where you could either use that to flip that to get a more proven quarterback than obviously you have in Jalen Hurts, or you build even more around Jalen Hurts and you give him even more help and then you see what you can get out of him. So that one's a bit of a wild card, but I do think Jalen Hurts deserves anyways to be their starting quarterback next season. So let's move on to San Francisco. Now, everybody expects the 49ers are moving on from Jimmy G. Of course, after drafting Trey Lance, they all expect that to come this season. Now, Jimmy G, he ends up having the hurt URL or some ligament in your hand that I didn't even know existed. But Jimmy G ends up hurting that one. And he then ends up with surgery on the table after this season. So now, does that hurt his trade value? Plus, obviously, he's got the ugly contract, we know, as well. John Lynch, he, of course, was asked about the future of Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco.
Anytime you have surgery, it's not a minor deal. Anytime it's the throwing shoulder, I understand the significance, but it is described as a minor surgery, and Jimmy's going to be fine. You know, as for the trade, Jimmy's a part of us right now. A lot of people need or want quarterbacks right now, and he's obviously a guy they'd look at. So, yes, we have listened, but he's a part of us, and he's going to work diligently to get back from this surgery. You know, he can return to throwing late June, early July, and the prognosis is really good. So that's all good stuff.
Here's the problem with Jimmy G. It's always something, right? Like, his durability is the biggest problem. Not even his accuracy, because I know sometimes we have issues there, of course, but his durability is the biggest issue with Jimmy Garoppolo, his durability and his contract. This feels like, to me, John Lynch out here trying to say the right things to keep a market for Jimmy G, because even though I think Jimmy G is a solid quarterback and he's obviously had success in San Francisco, I don't think the market's huge for him because of those factors.
Well, and I'll say this. Them drafting Trey Lance was another reason why they drafted Trey Lance, because of durability of Jimmy G and him missing time here and there. But when you look at this surgery, do I think it's going to hurt Jimmy G? No, but it's going to delay the process, because teams are going to want to see how is he progressing, right? Another thing, when you have two quarterbacks on your team, Jimmy G and Trey Lance, you're not just going to take any offer that any team wants to give to you, because at the worst case scenario, we'll just keep Jimmy G another year. It's not like he didn't go to a Super Bowl or an NFC Championship game this year. He has had production in the National Football League when he has played, and he's been on the biggest stages in the National Football League as well. Everything just delays the process when he has that surgery. But do I think there are going to be some teams out there who would love a Jimmy G? Yes, because we have some bad quarterbacks in the National Football League, and they can't wait to see the progression of Jimmy Garoppolo so they can say, you know what, let us trade an arm, and not an arm and a leg, for a guy.
Let's check in on Cleveland. Kevin Stefanski, he had a microphone in front of his face at the Combine as well, the head coach, of course, of the Cleveland Browns. He was asked about Baker Mayfield's future.
Yeah, I think we talked about it in the moment a lot. Certainly never hid from that. We acknowledge it. Baker acknowledges it, obviously, throughout the season. He played through those injuries. But I don't think it's fair to put what percentage was on that. We just, I think he knows he wants to play better. I know I want to coach better, all those type of things. But we're really focusing on how we're going to do that now moving forward.
Feels like Mayfield hurt himself a lot this season playing through those injuries, Harry Douglas, because I don't know what to make of it. Obviously, he had a really bad season as compared to the season before, and then we heard how injured he was after the season. I don't know if he helped himself being tough guy.
Well, I know one thing. I know since 2018, Baker Mayfield has the most interceptions in the National Football League with 56. Amber, That's not going to get the job done. Your job as a quarterback is to protect the football. That was not what he was doing the entire year last year. But I'm going to take it a little deeper because I don't just blame him. I blame Kevin Stefanski as well because Odell Beckham Jr. was on that team, and we seen when Odell Beckham Jr. went to the Rams have a ton of production. Did you not know you had Odell Beckham Jr. on the team, Kevin Stefanski? Baker Mayfield didn't target him as much. But then Jarvis Landry, why isn't he having the production like he should have had last year? So I put that on Baker Mayfield, and I put that on Kevin Stefanski. Both of those guys have to get this thing right because they have the pieces in place. There's no excuse. They have the offensive line. They have the tight ends. They have the running back. They had two receivers. They got one now, but they had the arsenal. It's their job, Kevin Stefanski as the head coach and the play caller, to make everything go in sync. It's Baker Mayfield's job as the quarterback to echo everything the head coach is doing and to play well and to protect the football. So I will say this, when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, I would try to trade for Kirk Cousins, and if I can't get him, then you're going to be stuck with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I think they're going to end up being stuck with Baker Mayfield. We're showing on ESPN Plus right now. Total QBR in Baker's career up till 2020 was 57, and then in 21, it dropped to the 30s. So a rough showing there this past season for Baker Mayfield. Tune in Saturday for college basketball action as Kansas hosts Texas. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Coming up next, sounds like a quarterback who wanted out might have changed his mind. That's next here on Greeny with Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas filling in for my
Greeny, the podcast. Previously on Greeny.
All the things that everybody said could be the problems for this team have happened. But guess what? The team is way worse than I would have expected in my worst imaginal scenario. Whatever I figured the absolute worst this team could possibly be was, they are worse than that. They're going to make the play-in, I think. But if they wind up playing any of the big teams in the Western Conference in round one, they will be non-competitive.
That was the voice of Mike Greenberg on that rejoin. This is the voice of Amber Wilson. Harry Douglas and Amber Wilson filling in for Greeny. Weekly Rewind is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today, 877-ASK-DELL. Of course, Greeny was talking about the Lakers there. We are not going to do piling on Lakers talk today. Don't worry, we did it yesterday. So we're not going to do it again today. Instead, we're talking quarterback carousel today, and we've gotten a lot of sound from a lot of different teams out of the NFL Combine this week. And, of course, they're all saying the right thing. So Harry and I are trying to decipher if they're just saying it or if we actually expect their guy to remain in place at the quarterback position. So let's move to Seattle. Of course, the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson, it's been rumored there's been tension there for years. It always seems, Harry, to kind of smooth itself over before the actual season gets started. Now Russ has deleted the Seahawks from his Twitter. I haven't checked his Twitter lately to see if that's still a thing, but that's what we do in 2022. And Russ is embracing the trend. Pete Carroll, he had a microphone in front of him at the Combine. He was asked about his conversations with his starting quarterback.
This conversation is about everybody. We're talking about everybody. And that's commonplace for us to have conversations with teams about all of the players, particularly marquee players. And that's not changed. It's been the same every year we've been here. So it's the same as it's been. We have no intention of making any move there. But the conversations, John has to feel those, he always has. But nothing specific to that. Let me say this. Russell and I have had a partnership for all of these years. We've worked at this the whole time. And, you know, we've always tell you that he says the same thing I do because it's the truth. It's how we've worked at stuff. We've communicated on a really high level. And with that thought, I felt it was hugely important that we communicated really well and that we would be in touch. We would know what's going on. And we could take the time to step aside some of the action that's at hand and make sure that we keep things in proper perspective. And that's what we've done.
So it's all well and good, Harry, that he has no intention of trading away Russell Wilson. I don't know if Russell Wilson, though, has a different intention. And so here is Russell Wilson, of course, the Seahawks quarterback. He was on NBC News. He talked about his future.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I love the East Coast, but I think the West Coast is better for me right now. I got my whole family over here. So, you know, I'm from Richmond. I know what you mean. I got people hitting me up every day, but all my friends and all that from East Coast. But Seattle's the place that I'm at right now, and I love it, and it's great.
So Seattle's the place that I'm at right now. That tells me absolutely nothing because that's just a factual statement. But him loving the West Coast, him saying that it's better for him right now, I did think that was interesting because there's been a lot of rumors out there about potential landing spots for Wilson, and they've all been East Coast kind of spots, right? Like the Giants, you know, would his wife like the market, the bright lights of New York? That's been a conversation. The Steelers, I think you and I had that conversation yesterday about a potential landing spot. There's going to be a huge market for Russell Wilson if the Seahawks were willing to part ways with Russell Wilson, of course, and if Russell Wilson was interested. But I did think it was telling maybe that he prefers the West Coast.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to see, like, what team would he go to on the West Coast? Maybe Arizona if they want to trade Kyler Murray for Russell Wilson. I'll take that trade any day because I like Russell Wilson. He also said that he wanted to play to 45 on one of those late night shows when him and Sierra, his wife, was on. He was like, I want to play to 45. It was like, it's 12 more years. And he was like, I know. And then they asked Sierra, they was like, oh, are you okay with that? I support my baby whenever he wants, whatever he wants to do. That's a great wife right there. Support the man.
That is a great wife. That's also what you say when you're on TV. The conversation behind closed doors might be a little different. We're also talking about something like 12 years from now. So that can change. Maybe just ask Giselle.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Yeah, man, and I'll say this. When it comes to Russell Wilson, I just don't see how the Seattle Seahawks, if the Philadelphia Eagles say, you know what, we're going to give you these three first-round, or we'll give you two first-round draft picks, Jalen Hurts, and a second or a third-round draft pick. How do you say no to that? You can basically rebuild your franchise. I don't know how you say no to that. And I understand that Pete Carroll, him and Russell Wilson, they're attached at the hip. They got him in the third round, a steal. He's exceeded that by far, far more. And when you look at Russell Wilson, the only year that Russell Wilson missed a game in the National Football League was this year in 10 years. Durability is his thing. And he's been sacked over 425 times in his career. So for him to only miss three games this year because of that finger, I think that speaks volume to him and the way he takes care of his body. And he actually says he spends $1 million a year taking care of his body. Shout out to Russell Wilson. That means he making bank.
That does mean he's making bank. Also, that investment, though, appears to be paying off for his bank account. Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good, really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our $45 Silver Unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. So coming up, we have some breaking news in the NFL. Also, Major League Baseball and the MLBPA. They're planning informal talks today. We'll see where that takes us. Will there will be baseball? That's next on Greeny. Amber Wilson and Harry.
Greeny, the podcast.
Welcome back to Mike Greenberg Show. We're here live right now on ESPN Radio, and we're lucky enough to have a guest join us coming up soon, Carl Ravitch. But right now we have some breaking news. We have the hand size of Kenny Pickett that just came in, and right now his hand size measured in at, I'm trying to read this here, 8 3/4 inches. Nope, that was in 2017. That was the lowest. But I think his hand size was 8 1/2 inches, and that was very, very small. And let me give y'all a comparison. I was a wide receiver in the 2008 Combine, and my hands were 8.25, and I had the smallest hands at the Combine that year. So Kenny Pickett hand size is in. It's 8 1/2 inches. And the only thing I got to say about this is that you have to result to the tape, because Kenny Pickett played in Pittsburgh, and playing in Pittsburgh, we do know the weather is not always going to be great. So you have cold weather, you have rainy weather, things of that nature, things of that stature, but he does wear gloves. So when it comes to Kenny Pickett, I don't think it's going to be a factor, because I think he played a great brand of football in the eye test. And I'm an eye test guy. I know analytics and hand size and 40 times. And even if a guy runs a bad 40, if he's football fast, I would look over that 40 time, because he will make up for it. But we have a guest coming up to talk about a little baseball. And right now what's happening in baseball is very, very, very sad. And when I mean it's sad, it's because I'm a huge baseball fan. My Atlanta Braves won the World Series last year. But right now we know that opening day and the first two series have been canceled in Major League Baseball. So they're in a lockout right now. And the part about this that bothers me the most is that these two sides had ample time to try to get this deal done in a new CBA. But so much time was wasted. And at the end of the day, they tried to cram a lot in within 10 days, and it didn't happen. So now employees that work at these stadiums, they have to take a back seat. They're going to be the people missing out. Fans across the world who love baseball and follow baseball here in America, if they're not here currently, love baseball. Those are the people who are going to suffer the most. Now, at the end of the day, we're looking at this whole thing go down. We're talking about billionaires and millionaires fighting over money. So at some point, they have to get a deal done. And it's sad that opening day is canceled, because down here in the South where I am right now, located in Atlanta, Georgia, we look at opening day as a little mini holiday. A lot of people look forward to that spring training. A lot of people take their kids down there and whatnot to see the spring training and see guys down there and get to meet them one-on-one, take pictures, sign autographs, things you might not necessarily be able to do on a daily basis when going to a Major League Baseball game. So that's why this is huge when it comes to Major League Baseball. And I think we have Carl Ravitch on the line. Is Carl with us? Okay, so let's stick with baseball. So the thing that's holding everything up is the competitive balance tax, right? And the way I view this is that the owners are trying to rob Peter and pay Paul. When you look at the players just want to be compensated for what is going on, transpiring on the football, on the baseball field. Right, they want the product on the field to be compensated and not all the dollars to be going into the pockets of the owners. Another thing is the, I think, the pool. We look at the numbers, and I'm trying to remember what the numbers were. Jeff Passan laid it out for everybody, but I think it was $220 million for the first 4 years and then a slightly increase. But when you looked at the player side of it, they wanted a lot more money because we, at the end of the day, players make the game. Players make the game, and there's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. Now, I was just told we do have Carl Ravage, and the first question I would like to have for Carl is, Carl, first I'd like to say thank you for joining us. It is very, very important right now as we're in a lockout right now with Major League Baseball. But the first thing I want to ask you is, how is this going to affect the game of baseball moving forward?
Well, it's going to suffer. I mean, it's every time we have one of these, it suffers. And, you know, in 1998, we had a home run derby. We're not going to have a home run derby. But I think we do have more teams that are generating interest. But no doubt, we take a step back. I think the biggest concern for baseball right now is the kind of apathetic response that not the diehard baseball fan is feeling, but the fan that they need, the one that's not committed to baseball, the one that they really want to turn on to the game, they're nonplussed by this. They're basically thinking to themselves, when it shows up, I may invest in it. But, you know, as I said a week ago, we're investors. You know, baseball fans are investors. And right now, our board of directors, players and owners, are sending us in a bad direction.
And, Carl, when you look at the time frame that this tried to take place, I thought it was a disservice to baseball in itself and to fans to try to cram a lot of things in at the last minute when these two sides had ample time to try to get this deal done beforehand. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I was under the impression that this was supposed to jumpstart negotiations, and then there was about an eight-week period between the jumpstart and the actual first exchange of proposal. So, I mean, I likened it to if you have a car in your garage and the battery died, you don't wait 5 weeks to replace it if you got to get somewhere. You do it right away. So, yeah, I would agree the lack of urgency was troubling.
Now, another thing I want to ask you, Carl, is that players, when it comes to players, at the end of the day, they want the product on the field to be compensated and not just the owners. When you look at the competitive balance tax, why are the two sides so far off when it comes to that?
Well, I mean, basic economics are, you know, the owner doesn't want to spend any money that they don't need to as long as their product is solid and competitive. And the player believes that they are not getting a fair share of the revenue that the sport, and if not the owner, is generating. So the gray in all of this, and this is where people pick sides, is how do you define fair, and what percentage of revenue is an employer due? And I think most people have different answers. There's not a simple answer to this, and that's why they're in the position they're in.
Rob Manfred initiated the lockout. It was kind of troubling to me because I didn't think he had to do that right away. And then now we have opening day, the first two series canceled. How was that being viewed by so many on the outside?
Again, I think it falls into two categories. One will side with the players who think that Rob's behavior has been abhorrent and unnecessary. And then you'll have the other side who think that the owners own the teams. It's their sport. They can do with their revenue what they want. And that's where they're at. Rob knows very well he's the guy in the crosshairs. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't hide from it. It's a difficult decision. If they were to lift the lockout, I'm guessing that the players would immediately go on strike because they don't like the conditions that they're working under. So there's, you know, there's just a lot of moving parts, and it's a complicated issue. But baseball fans boil it down to, is my team going to be on the field? Is my favorite player going to be playing baseball? And currently the answer is no. So most fans are pretty pissed about it.
Carl, thank you for your baseball talk. I want to pivot to the college basketball ranks because we do have Coach K coaching his last game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And I want to ask you, is this going to be an emotional time for Coach K as he coaches his last game there in Durham?
Yeah, I think anytime we've seen a legend, and in the last 30 years we've seen many of them leave the game, you know, you got to understand, you know, back to his days at Army, this is now part of his DNA. This is in his blood. So it's a bittersweet moment. There will be emotion because he's not going to do this anymore for Duke, for USA basketball, for an Olympic team. You know, you're removing somebody who's been in love with this game and dedicated his life to it, and it's treated him incredibly well, and he's had massive success. He's going to wake up and know that he's not going to be on the sideline anymore. So I think it's going to be emotional, but I think he's clearly made the decision. He's at peace with it. But there's no doubt there's emotion attached to something like that. There has to be. I know whenever I walk away, there'll be a lot of emotion attached to it. When you do something and try to perfect your craft and keep getting better at it, and then you realize tomorrow I'm not going to be doing this anymore, as much of life that's left for you with grandchildren and other challenges, it's not the foundation of what you've been identified with and you've made your living for so long.
Carl, thank you for your time. It's going to be a sad day in college baseball as Coach K coaches his last game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Thank you for the Major League Baseball talk. You have a blessed day, sir.
You too. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
The college basketball season is heating up, and that means that Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Awards nominees to watch as this season rolls on. Harry, can you hear me? Because we are having some audio issues.
Yes, I can.
Woo, it's good to be back connected to you. So let's move along here off of the depressing baseball talk, since we have no idea when we're going to see Major League Baseball. We do know when we're going to see Kevin Durant, though. He is going to make his return against my Miami Heat. Obviously, he's been held out because of injury, and it feels like the Nets were extra cautious with him, right? I think he could have come back quite a few games ago. They were waiting. I'm surprised that they're putting him back against such a formidable opponent in the Miami Heat. And, of course, I'm saying that as a Heat homer, but I also mean it. They're sitting atop the East. We saw what happened against the Bucks last night. So let's talk about that game for a second, because I know you were passionate about that game. The Heat and Bucks, they have quite literally, obviously the road goes through each other anyways, both being in the East, but they have quite literally been the road through each other on their way to the NBA Finals, of course, two seasons ago for the Heat, and last season for the Milwaukee Bucks, as they actually went on to win the championship. And so they've kind of become rivals in that regard. And this matchup last night did not disappoint Harry Douglas. They certainly traded things out in terms of leads, and the Bucks end up victorious in this one after a monster comeback where the Heat were dominating them the majority of the game.
Yeah, you look at the last 6 minutes of this ball game, and it was inexcusable by the Miami Heat. Now, this also shows you that a guy like Kyle Lowry, who is a veteran, was not playing, and that's probably the reason why they had some of those meltdowns. Now, in the last 6 minutes, the Heat went 3-for-8 field goal-wise, over 3 from threes, and had 4 turnovers. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks, on the other hand, they took advantage of the situation. They scored 21 points. They went 7-for-13 from the field, 2-for-4 from threes, and had 0 turnovers. But I believe it was the first time this season that Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo all had 25 points or more. And we basically seen what those three guys did in the NBA Finals. They were all three dominant, but late in games, they showed defensively that they can hold their own, and then they showed offensively that they can do it. But these two teams do not like each other at all, Amber. You mentioned the last 2 years, the finals when it came to the Eastern Conference has come through Miami or Milwaukee. 2020, the Miami Heat went to the finals down in the bubble. That's when they lost to the Lakers. Last year, the Milwaukee Bucks made it to the finals, and they won it all. So these two teams, when it comes to playoff basketball, I want to talk about playoff basketball right now, because I'm looking forward to playoff basketball in 2022, because we have so many teams in the East that are good right there from 1 to 5, or 1 to 6, and I'm not even putting the Brooklyn Nets right there right now, because they have some more ground to make up from that 8 seed that they're in. But when they do have Kevin Durant, we've seen what they can be, because they were the 1 seed when he went out with that injury. But when you talking about the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat, it's going to be physical, because both of them are physical teams. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but that's what I want to see when it comes to playoff basketball.
So right now in the East, I mentioned the Heat, of course, are atop the East. You got the Bulls, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Cavs, the C's. You believe in all of those teams as potential contenders. You get the Raptors at 7. Feels like you're out on the Raptors a bit. But what's funny here is you didn't even mention, you said top 6, right? Like, you didn't even mention the Brooklyn Nets thrown into that conversation. Now they get back KD. I don't know when Ben Simmons is going to play with them, but even with KD, obviously they can try to make some noise here in the East. He will come back tonight. That tip off in that game with the Heat and the Brooklyn Nets is at 7:30 p.m. The dangerous thing is, Harry, though, when we're talking about my Miami Heat last night, like, they almost got it done against the Bucks, and it was ugly, like you said, down the stretch, and they turned over the ball there in places that it really cost them the game at the end. But they had an opportunity there to beat the defending champs, and Jimmy Butler only gave you 6, right? I mean, Bam was out there giving you 18. You had guys coming off the bench. Tyler Herro gave you 30 off the bench. But your best player in Jimmy Butler was only giving you 6 points. Kyle Lowry, like you mentioned, wasn't even playing. That's been the story of the Miami Heat this season. They've been sitting atop the East basically the entire season long, and they have been shorthanded the huge majority of the season as well, with all of their main guys taking different points to take some rest or with injuries or dealing with COVID and everything else. So as shorthanded as they've been for a lot of this season, they've been getting it done, and quietly getting it done, because I don't think anybody's been talking about them until very recently. The last few days, I've started to hear some of these, you know, national experts actually start to really believe and start buying into this Miami Heat team. And frankly, on the other side, I think with the Milwaukee Bucks last night, like, they, even though they're the defending champs, it's kind of crazy to say, I think they've also been kind of quietly getting it done, because I think the Nets and the Sixers have stolen so much of the headlines because of the drama in the East this season that we've kind of forgotten about the Heat and the Bucks, but definitely two teams that we could see in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and the only thing when it comes to the Miami Heat that I'm worried about, when you look at the 76ers, they have two guys who can score at will. When you look at the Brooklyn Nets, when Kyrie's playing, they have two guys that can score at will. The Chicago Bulls, they have two guys that can score at will. And then you look at the 76ers, they have two guys that can score at will. The Bucks have three guys that can score at will. You look at the Miami Heat, you just mentioned Jimmy Butler last night. What did he put up? 6 points. That's not scoring at will in my eyes. They don't have one guy that can just score down the court any and every time that they touch the basketball. That's the only thing that scares me with them. But they do play great defense. They're physical, and they're going to make it hard for you. But they got Kevin Durant coming up. Is that tonight, right? Tonight they got Kevin Durant?
I don't know what KD is going to look like, but I mean, he should be fine, because, like I said, it seems like the Nets are being extra. No, I'm just saying, like, coming off the injury, you know, he's been out for a minute here, Harry. Are his legs going to be back under him? I think that he'll be fine. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be completely fine, because I also think he could have returned a few nights ago. They've been extra cautious with him, obviously, for reasons there. So you're extra cautious with him. I'm sure he'll be fine tonight, but he's going up against a real defense. I know we're talking about KD, but you mentioned that Heat D. I mean, that is the strength of that Heat team. It's the entire reason that they are sitting atop the East. I don't agree with you that there's nobody on the team that can score at will. I do think Jimmy, especially playoff Jimmy, is a different Jimmy. Like, hey, a lot of these vets in the NBA, but it's that defense that's that cornerstone of that Heat team.
Easy money sniper. That's what they call Kevin Durant. Easy money sniper. The Slim Reaper. He is a walking bucket. LeBron couldn't handle him. PJ Tucker couldn't handle him. Hell, nobody can handle him. He is the best scorer that the game has ever seen. And he's 6'11 doing it with a wingspan way, way larger. The easy money sniper, I can't wait to watch him tonight. I've been waiting on this for a while because I love the attitude of Kevin Durant. Every time he touched the basketball, I'm not on the football field. We're talking about the basketball court right now. Every time he touches it, it has a chance of going in. And if his shoe size wasn't so big, the Milwaukee Bucks would have been going home last year.
Yeah, I hope he got shoes that were like a half a size smaller for this season, right? Because that certainly cost. I don't know what they would have done after that, though, because they were just too shorthanded. But he is unbelievable. I do wonder, when you saw him do it darn near by himself last season, if his shoe size had been right. It does make me wonder if it's just Kyrie and him. And if Kyrie, particularly if he's full-time, but if it's just Kyrie and him, do they have enough? Even if Ben Simmons never is able to, you know, get on the court or be Ben Simmons this season, because it'll just be too tough coming in.
I don't know. But because James Harden leaving, that lets go another predominant scorer. But you do have a Seth Curry. You do have a Goran Dragic that's coming in. You do have a Patty Mills that can shoot the basketball. And I know those guys aren't James Harden, but they can put the ball in the basket too.
That's true. They can put the ball in the basket as well. Another guy who can put the ball in the basket, at least we think, Victor Oladipo. He is coming back soon for the Miami Heat, so maybe he'll give them a bit of a boost. I don't know what we could expect to see at this point from Oladipo in his career, but we'll see how that plays out. We'll also see how Barton Hahn plays out. That's next. Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas. It was fun filling in for Mike Greenberg today on Greeny.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.